Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Great to see you guys. Welcome to Next Level Church. My name is Rob. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I would love to meet you after the service. I'll be hanging out in the lobby. If you're new, we want to welcome you. And whether you're new or this is your church, I want to invite you to participate with what you're about to experience. And the way that you can do that is by checking out a free app called YouVersion. There's an events page on YouVersion that allows you to interact with what you're about to experience. And that's my goal for this. I don't want you just sitting there and taking some stuff in. I would love for you to take some notes, to actually apply what we're talking about, to wrestle with it, and YouVersion will help you do that. You can take some notes in the events page. There's a poll that you can take. It's a free fun poll, and there's some other fun stuff as well. So go ahead and open up your smartphones or tablets to YouVersion, and then we'll dive in. And I want to spend a few seconds just praying before we dive into today's topic. And if you guys would, just close your eyes and bow your heads. God, we're just so honored that we get a chance to be here. And would you just quiet our hearts right now? Would you just remove the distractions from this service and the distractions from our own minds? God, would you just say something that would help us, to help us fall in love with you? And God, I just ask that you would speak loudly to us, that you would speak clearly to us. And God, I ask that you give us the courage to obey you no matter how difficult it is. And God, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're concluding our summer series entitled At the Movies. And this is a series that we do each and every summer. And it's a series that a lot of people love at Next Level Church. And if you're new, I want to tell you a little bit about the backstory of this series. We do this series because, number one, I love movies. But number two, I'm convinced that if Jesus were here today physically and he was able to teach us audibly, that he would use movie clips. And the reason I'm convinced of that is a verse that talks about Jesus. It says that whenever Jesus addressed the crowds, every time he addressed the crowds, he would tell them parables. And a parable is simply a story with a point. And so every time Jesus taught, in order to make his point, he would tell a story. And that sounds a lot like movies today, that every single movie that we watch is a modern day parable. It's a story with a point. Now, not every movie is a good story. And some movies you need to avoid watching because it's just junk and it's going to put a lot of bad stuff in your mind. So you need to avoid those. But every movie is a story with a point. And in this series, what we're doing is we're watching clips from some pretty popular movies, in order to illustrate some biblical ideas about God. Now, today's film, this is the last day of the series, and today's film was not on the docket at all. There were a handful of films that I wanted to cover, and every summer when we come up to this series, I get a handful of movies out, and I'll start watching them, and I take notes, and I try to figure out what movies I want to cover. And there were a couple movies that were on the docket that I wanted to end the series with, but then I had to change the movie because of a couple conversations that I had last week. At the end of last week, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me about some of his friends who were very disillusioned with church. And this is a different church. It's not Next Level Church, but they were very disillusioned with church. They had a view of what church should be and that it wasn't meeting their expectation, and so they now are not going to church anywhere, and they're just kind of hanging out, and they're disillusioned with church, and they're disappointed, and they're hurt, and they've given up on the church. Last weekend, then, I'm on Facebook, and I see some people who are just struggling with life, that life is hard, that specifically with a job situation, that they didn't get the job that they wanted, and so they are struggling in life, and they're struggling with their faith, and they're wanting to give up. I had another conversation with some friends who were struggling in life, that life wasn't going the way that they wanted. They had some thoughts, some dreams, some kind of plans that they were hoping were going to happen to them, and it wasn't going the way that they wanted to, and so they were just struggling, and they wanted to give up. And in all of these situations, I thought of one unlikely movie. It's a movie that was not a major blockbuster. It's a movie that is not even the best movie in its own franchise. The movie today that we're going to highlight is a movie that came out in 2006. It is a movie titled after the lead character of the film. The movie is called Rocky Balboa. Now, this is not the best Rocky movie of the whole series. In fact, it's like the fifth best out of seven. If you haven't seen the last one, it was Creed. It came out last year, and that is an incredible movie. That Creed is a great movie. And Rocky 1 through 4 are really great movies. Rocky V is an embarrassment, and most people don't even admit that it's a part of the series. Rocky Balboa came out as a way to apologize for Rocky V. Sylvester Stallone was so embarrassed by the reaction that Rocky V got that about 10 years later, after Rocky V came out, he wrote Rocky Balboa. Now, something interesting about this time in Sylvester Stallone's life is, number one, he's not just an actor, he's also a director and a writer, and he wrote most of the Rocky films. And in this season of Sylvester Stallone's life, his daughter was going through some serious medical complications, and she was in the hospital, and it was during this season of kind of doubt and struggle that Sylvester Stallone rediscovered his faith. And he talked in multiple interviews how he grew up Catholic, but he had gone away from his faith. But it was during this season, when his daughter was struggling with her health, that he re-examined his life and his faith. And you can see that in two films that he made during this season. One of the films is Rambo. It's the fourth Rambo in the franchise. And he's like 99 years old in this film, but he's still ripped as all get out. And if you've seen Rambo, the last Rambo movie, you know that he saved some missionaries. And that was his nod to saying, I'm kind of coming back to my faith. He makes Rocky Balboa, and in Rocky Balboa, the co-star of the film is faith and is the Bible and is actually a belief in Jesus. And he is very intentional when he writes this film to make sure that faith is a part of the story. Now, if you've never seen Rocky Balboa, I'm convinced you still know who Rocky is. Like, Rocky is as Americana as apple pie. He's as American as baseball. He's as American as fireworks on the 4th of July. If you do not like Rocky, I question your judgment in life. Rocky, I'm just joking, by the way. My wife hates Rocky. She can't stand Rocky. And truth be known, I don't like baseball. I prefer basketball. And I don't like pie. I would much rather have cake. So I'm just joking with you, okay? It's all right if you do not like Rocky, okay? In fact, I want to address those of you that don't like Rocky, because I think there's a temptation to say, well, I don't like this film, I don't like this franchise, so I can just zone out and not apply what's going on. But I think there's something that is so important in this film that I think no matter if you like Rocky or you hate Rocky like my wife does, I think there's something that you can get out of it. Rocky Balboa contains one of the greatest speeches in movie history. And this is not an opinion, this is a fact. If you were to Google the greatest movie speeches in history, you'll find lists that contain movies like Braveheart, The Breakfast Club, Good Will Hunting, and Rocky Balboa. I'm not joking. This speech in this film, we're going to watch this speech, it is considered one of the greatest speeches in the history of movies. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But before then, let me give you a little bit of backstory to what you're about to see. Rocky Balboa hasn't boxed in many years, and he's a little bit down on his luck. His wife, Adrienne, has passed away, in his own words, because of woman cancer, and he has now owned a restaurant in Philadelphia where he spends most of his time telling stories about his old fights to the people that come to his restaurant. And that sets up about everything you need to know about this clip. Check it out.
How are you doing, Isabel?
Okay, except for the freebie reading the Bible over there.
Oh, he's okay.
You know, just because you fought him don't mean you gotta feed him forever. He doesn't even look like a fighter.
Spider Rico can hit. Listen, how's your stomach?
Okay.
You know, if you keep rubbing that olive oil on your stomach, and your kids could be born very strong.
Okay.
Yeah, really. Yo, how you doing, Spider?
God bless you, Rocky.
Thanks. How you guys doing? Jose, can you make something special for my kid who's coming tonight?
No problemo.
Good. I appreciate it. Back and forth, give and take. And then I went in there like an animal, and I threw him into the corner, and I unloaded everything I had. Hook, 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 left, left, left. But Creed, he kept busting me back pretty good, and the agony began to pile up. Then I heard the best sound that I ever heard in my life.
The bell.
That's right, the bell. And I ain't never been so tired, and I'm sitting in my corner, and I'm trying to figure out how to survive the last round when Mickey leans into my ear and says, come on. get out there and fight this guy hard, you bum. You gotta be first. You gotta be first. I said, yo, Mick, if I could,
I would.
The end.
Salute.
So in the film Rocky, he's in his late 50s, and he's down on his luck. He is just kind of coasting through life. And he's telling these war stories from all of his battles, and he's been telling them for so long, the people at the restaurant can finish the story before he does. And he kind of is feeling a little frustrated with life because he feels like even though he's older, he's still destined for something more. He's destined for something greater. And I don't know if you caught it at the very beginning, but when he walks in, he says, how are we doing tonight? And the lady that is working for him says, great, except for the guy who is freeloading on us, who's eating for free, reading his Bible. Spider Rico is a guy, if you're familiar with the Rocky franchise, the very first Rocky film, which came out in the 70s, it starts with a picture of Jesus Christ. It is a stained glass window, and it pans down to Rocky, who is boxing in what is used to be a church. And Sylvester Stallone has said that that is his way of saying that the character Rocky was destined for something great, that he started on Jesus and went down to Rocky. And in that very first film that came out in the 70s, Rocky fights a guy by the name of Spider Rico. And now, so many years later, Spider Rico is eating for free in Rocky's restaurant, reading the Bible. Well, Rocky starts to feel like there's something in the basement, like there's something inside of him that is still calling out for something more. And he thinks about getting back in the ring and fighting. But before he does this, he wants to go to two of the only people he has left. Everyone else in his life has passed away, has died. He only has two people left, his son and his brother-in-law. And he goes to them to throw out this crazy idea about whether or not he should get into the ring. And that sets up our next clip. Check it out.
Yo, Robert.
What is this? What are you doing out so late?
I tried calling, but nothing was picking up.
Something wrong?
No, I just wanted to come by and see you in person.
Okay, you want to come inside?
No, I just want to get your opinion on something.
Sure. Opinion on what?
Well, you know, they say you only go around once, right?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, I think I want to, like, do something.
Like what?
Fight. You know, nothing big, small stuff, like locally.
Don't you think you're too, you know, old?
Yeah, but you think you ought to stop trying things because you had a few too many birthdays? I do not.
People are going to think you're going crazy.
What's crazy about standing toe-to-toe saying, I am, you know?
That's just ego talking. Look, what are you trying to prove to other people, Pop?
Prove? Listen, I stopped thinking the way other people are thinking a long time ago. You know, you got to think like you think.
I do.
Do you? Good.
You gotta face reality. Okay, it's a different world now.
Only the clothes is different.
I really don't know what you want from me.
I just wanted us to get involved, you know, like home team.
Look, whatever it is, whatever you're going through, it'll pass.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Time is gonna catch up to all of us.
Especially if you're standing still, you know.
Hey, come on. I'm gonna call you in the morning.
Did you tell this to your kid, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
What, do you think you're nuts, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, he don't believe in you? Welcome to my world, buddy. Rocco, nobody's giving you no title shot.
I know that. I don't want one.
So this isn't a mental disturbance?
No.
You're mad because they took down your statue?
No. Not really, no.
If it's about money, just hang a sign around your neck saying, punch me. $5, you'll make big money. What? You haven't peaked yet?
Peaked?
Yeah, peaked.
I don't know, there's still some stuff in the basement.
What basement?
In here.
Tell me about the stuff.
What about it?
Tell me about the stuff inside. Is it angry?
Angry?
Are you mad because Adrian left you?
She didn't leave, Paul. She died.
Okay.
You know, sometimes it's hard to breathe. You know, I feel like this beast inside me.
It's okay, Rocco. Please, it's okay.
Is it? Okay. I just never knew it was supposed to be this hard. It wasn't supposed to be like this, Paul, you know? I said, you want to come by and help me train?
I got a job here.
I understand.
Remember you said if you stay one place long enough, you become that place? Rocco, this is all I got.
I understand, boy. I do. Well, if you get time, maybe come down and see me train. I appreciate it.
Of course, Rocco.
Bye, Polly.
Goodbye, Rocco.
So Rocky is going for his license to get reinstated to become a boxer again. And I know that most of us in here aren't boxers, but I can bet that a lot of us have had a dream at some point in our life. It was a dream to do something, and when you bring that to the people that are closest to you, why is it that they never can believe in your dream? Why is it that the people that are closest to you say, you're crazy, you can't do that, you're too old, you're not gifted enough, you haven't gone to college, you're not smart enough, you can't do what God has put inside of you to do? And that scene, it moves me. Like, I think the acting in it is great, that you can just feel Rocky's struggle, that he's not asking people to say that he's great once again or that he's even going to win. He's just looking for someone to say, I believe in you. Like, this is a crazy idea, but I'm going to be in your corner. No matter what happens, I'm going to stand with you through this. And no one has time for him, and everyone says that he's crazy, so he starts to go out to do this training thing all on his own. And he gets reinstated, and as he's getting reinstated, ESPN does a virtual boxing match between him in his prime and the heavyweight champion of the world. And the whole thing is run by computers, but the world is watching. And in this virtual fight between computers, Rocky beats the world heavyweight champion. And this sets some things in motion, that the champion starts to have some pride, and his pride is hurt. And he comes back, and his managers say, hey, listen, we need to get you a fight with Rocky Balboa. And everyone thinks this is crazy, because the champ would kill Rocky Balboa. He's in his 50s, he hasn't boxed in a long time, and everyone thinks this is a bad idea. But they talk the champion into fighting Rocky, and this sets up one of the greatest movie speeches in the history of movies. Rocky signs on the dotted line to fight the heavyweight champion of the world in an exhibition. And when his son finds out, he is so embarrassed, he is so ashamed, he confronts his dad. And that leads up to our next scene. Check it out.
So you're going through with this?
Yeah, I start training tomorrow.
They're up. I made some connections. I could make some money on this endorsements.
Absolutely, do that.
Thank you, Rob.
Sure.
Okay.
So you're nervous about the fight?
I'm scared to death.
You don't look scared?
Well, you ain't supposed to.
Then you don't have to do it.
Yeah, well, I think I do.
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is going to be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Oh, well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself. And this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor not to go through with this, okay? This is only going to end up bad for you, and it's going to end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
It's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't going to believe this, but you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching you every day. It was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world. And you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
Now, because of Rocky's speech impediment, the vast majority of that speech was incomprehensible. And so I've transcripted the speech for you because you can understand what his son says, but it is very difficult to understand what Rocky says. And this is why my wife hates the Rocky franchise. She thinks he sounds so dumb. And I always tell her, Monica, he is supposed to sound dumb. He's supposed to sound punchy. Like, that's part of the character. And she doesn't buy it. She just can't stand his voice. And so because some of you couldn't understand what he said, it's going to come up on the screen. Let me show you a big portion of what he said because I think it's so powerful. He says, let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshines and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth, but you got to be willing to take the hits. And not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I love this speech. In fact, there is a company who has taken this quote of the speech and put it on a poster. And I found it on Pinterest and sent it to my mom and said I want it for my birthday to hang it up in my office. And this is just a friendly reminder because she's in this service that that's... But I love that speech. I love what he says. Life is difficult, and I don't care who you are. I don't care if you come from money or if you come from a poor family. I don't care if you're white, black. I don't care who you are. Life is hard, and life is going to hit you. And it's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and then keep going. It's such an inspirational quote. Like, it motivates me. And oftentimes when I'm going through a difficult season, I literally will just pull up this quote on Google and I'll watch this just to be motivated, to push me back, to say, listen, yeah, life is hitting pretty hard, but you got to hit back. You got to keep going. You can't give up. You got to be willing to take the hits and stop pointing fingers and saying you're not where you want to be because of him or her or because of your circumstances. If you're not where you want to be, you got to look at yourself and say, I've got to get there. It's not about other people and what they've done to you. It's about how hard you can get hit and how hard you can keep moving. Well, this is such an inspirational quote, and I actually think it points us to a very inspirational scripture in the Bible. Rocky Balboa, all throughout the film, there are little nods to the Bible. In fact, before his last fight, before this big fight, he meets with Spider Rico. And Spider Rico reads over him some scriptures about having victory in Jesus, and he prays over him. And it's just a nod to Sylvester Stallone's reestablished faith in God. And our scripture is not the one that Spider Rico read, but it is a scripture that I think is incredibly inspirational. And I want to give you a little backstory for the scripture that we're going to read today. It is written by a guy by the name of Paul. And if you grew up in the church, you're very familiar with who Paul is. If you did not grow up in the church, Paul is a guy that you need to become familiar with because Paul wrote over half of the New Testament. And he planted a lot of church and he spread the news of Jesus Christ, literally started going around the world. Now, at Next Level, Paul is so important that we often say that Paul is a what? Primetime player. He is a major player in the New Testament. He wrote a letter to the churches in Galatia, and I want to give you a little bit of backstory about why he wrote this. There were some religious people in the area of Galatia who were persecuting Paul, that they literally were saying that Paul wasn't all that he was cracked up to be. In Paul's day and age, they had these apostles, and an apostle was someone who had been taught by Jesus and had authority then to press on and to teach others about Jesus. And so the books of our Bible were considered to be written, most of them, by apostles. It was a spiritual view of someone in high spiritual authority. And Paul comes on the scene, and he announces that he is an apostle, and these religious people say, "No, you're not." In fact, they start calling him out and saying that he doesn't have the spiritual pedigree. And especially they're upset with Paul because they think that he is watering down what it means to be a follower of Jesus. They think that because he's not all about all of the extra rules that come with Judaism, that he's not really a Christian and that he's making it too easy for people to come to Jesus. And so Paul addresses that in his letters to these Christians in Galatia. And we're going to read a portion of that, Galatians 6, 3 through 5. Paul writes, "If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load." Now, if you put this verse in context with what's going on, what is Paul saying? Well, Paul is saying that when you go out and try to accomplish something, especially when you try to accomplish something for God, there are going to be haters left and right that come at you. And in order to survive people being negative, and in order to survive people telling you that you can't do what God has placed inside of you, you better test yourself. You better ask yourself some hard questions. And in the film Rocky Balboa, he literally, after his conversation with his son, he re-examines himself and he looks in the mirror and he says, "Am I doing this just for pride? Am I doing this just to make a name for myself? Or am I doing this because I feel like I'm called for something greater?" And once he answered that question, it didn't matter what his son or his brother-in-law Polly said. It didn't matter what the media said, because he knew he had to take this fight. And in your life, when you feel called to do something, I don't care if it's to write a book, I don't care if it's to start a church, I don't care if it's to start a family or to get a new job, when you are called, when you start to feel something in the basement of your soul say, "I need to go out there and take a new step," when you feel that someone is going to come at you and say, "You are crazy, don't do it." And at that moment, you better wrestle with yourself. Are you doing this just out of pride? Are you doing this to make a name for yourself? Or are you doing this because God has put something inside of you, deep down inside of you? And you need to wrestle with who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. Because when the haters come out, you can dismiss them if you know your own motives. Well, Paul goes on to write in Galatians 6, 6 through 8. He says, "Nevertheless, the one who receives instructions in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Now, Paul is echoing a very biblical idea. It is the idea of sowing and reaping. And most of us are not farmers. Some of you have gardens, very nice gardens, by the way. I see your pictures on Facebook. But most of us are not gardeners, so the idea of sowing and reaping, it's lost on us. But in biblical times, in order for them to survive, they didn't have Farm Fresh or Kroger or Walmart or Super Walmart or Target. In order for them to survive, they had to harvest. And so this idea of sowing and reaping, it is incredibly biblical. It is the idea of, if you want to see great results, you've got to plant into the soil of your life greatness. If you want to see something great, you can't just expect amazing fruit and vegetables to come up from the ground if you're not willing to do some hard work. And the idea of sowing and reaping, it is such a biblical idea. It is something that Jesus covered. It is something that multiple authors in the Bible covered. It is this idea that if you want something in your life, you've got to be pouring greatness into it. If you want amazing harvest, you've got to pour amazing things into your life. If you're seeing just over and over again bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, you can't sit around and point, well, that's my parents' fault. And, oh, that's my boss's fault. And I can't land a good job because it's the economy. And you can't point your finger at everyone else. If there is a pattern of bad decisions in your life, you've got to look inward and start asking the question, what am I planning? Am I planning things that are getting a good harvest, or am I planning things that are getting the results of what I've been planning? In order to see a harvest of something good, you have to put a lot of time into it. Don't expect a harvest of greatness if all you plant is laziness. Don't expect a harvest of opportunity if all you plant is contentment. If you're content with your life and you're content with your finances and you're content with your health and you're content with where you're at, don't expect something greater than where you're at. You're going to keep the status quo. If you want something more, you've got to start planting that into your life. Don't expect a harvest of perseverance if all you're planting is failure. And what is failure? Failure doesn't mean that you don't get the results that you're looking for. Failure, just the definition of failure, is simply this, that you stop trying. There's nothing in this life that you can't learn from. Every opportunity, even if you don't get it, even if you swing and miss, even if you strike out, even if you fall so short of your goal, is simply an opportunity to learn and to do it better the next time. If you're failing, it is because sometime along the road, you quit. That's what failure means. And Paul has some words for us to encourage us. And he says, listen, you got to sow. If you want to receive something great, pour into it. You got to pour this greatness into it. If you're feeling just kind of blah spiritually, well, what are you pouring into your spiritual life? Are you doing the status quo? Are you pouring in by reading the Bible yourself? Are you pouring in by carving out time to pray? Are you carving in are you pouring in by carving out time to meet with other Christians that inspire you? If you're feeling kind of blah with your faith, well, look at what you're pouring into your faith. And if you expect a radical, exciting faith, guess what? You got to go back and look at what you're pouring into it. Don't point your finger at the preacher. Don't point your finger at the church. Don't point your finger at other people. Look at yourself, sowing and reaping. Well, Paul goes on to say this, and this is our verse that echoes Rocky's words to his son, Galatians 6, 9 through 10. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. What are those next words? If we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. That is such a good verse. In fact, if you're following along in YouVersion, you should highlight that verse. This is a verse that you should memorize, that you need to remind yourself of. Because so often in life, when we try something, especially something new, and it's difficult, and opposition hits us, and we start to get frustrated, we just say, well, it was easier when I used to do it the other way. And it was easier when I was lazy, and it was easier when I just did whatever I wanted to, and that was easier. So let me just go away from this opposition. Let me just do the easy thing. And what does Paul say? He says, don't give up. You'll reap a harvest if you do not give up. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. This is an all play. I want everyone to do this, okay? Wake up if you were sleeping. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. Okay, now look at your other neighbor and say, I didn't choose you. You really need to not give up. All right, don't give up. This is not just some pie in the sky inspirational talk. This is a scripture from a guy who often was sitting in prison when he was writing letters to churches. This is a guy who was going through hardship because the very people that he led to Jesus are now being led away because other people are saying he's not good enough. And other people are questioning his motives. And other people are saying, don't listen to this crazy guy, Paul. And Paul's saying, listen, don't give up. You push through this hardship. And when you push through this hardship, eventually you will see a harvest. But don't give up. And some of you have not received the harvest of God because you gave up. You stopped short. And listen, if you're married, marriage is hard. It's hard. I don't care who you are. Marriage is hard. And what is God saying to you in your marriage? Well, if you want to experience a harvest of a marriage, well, you better pour some great things into your marriage. And not just once or twice, not just one week, not just on Valentine's Day or anniversary. You keep pouring amazing things into this relationship. If your spouse isn't the person you want them to be, you can't nag them to be that. You can't beg them to be that. You can pray it into existence, and you can model it. And you start pouring into them. This is what I would love. I would love for you to treat me this way. I'm just going to keep pouring love into you. I'm going to keep pouring into you. And eventually, if you do not give up, you'll reap a harvest. Don't give up. Some of you are parents and you have a dream to have a kid one day. And the doctors have told you it's impossible. Well, you can listen to doctors or you can believe that the God of the universe is the great physician. But you can't give up. Don't give up. Some of you had a miserable job and you just say, I wish I could have my dream job. And I've tried job after job and it's just I never get to my dream job. Well, you better start pouring into your life. What books are you reading right now to make you the best employee out there? What podcasts are you listening to make you the best employee out there? You pour into yourself and you become the greatest employee ever. And then you watch as the harvest comes along. But you can't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit before the harvest comes. Everything that you do in life is going to come with some opposition and going to come with some difficulty. But Paul is screaming at us. That does not mean that you stop doing what is right. And if you're a Christian, I don't know if you've ever had these thoughts, but if you're a Christian, especially maybe if you're a single, and isn't it easy to look on social media and say, well, everyone's happy and everyone has someone and I don't have someone, so let me just lower my standards. And my new standard is just going to be, if they can breathe, I'll date them. Let me just throw out the window if they love Jesus. I don't even care anymore because no guys out there love Jesus. Let me just throw that out there and just, if you can breathe and like, you know, you don't fart too loud in public, then you'll be mine. Don't give up. Don't settle for that mess. I know it might be difficult and you might not be where you thought you were going to be in life, but you don't give up. You don't say, oh, I'm creeping up on 30. Let me just go find someone to get married to him. No, you don't give up. You hold strong. And you find that one and you keep pouring into yourself and you become the person that others want to marry. You pour into that. Do not give up. Don't quit. This past February, I went through a pretty difficult season, and it was months long of a difficult season. And I'll save you the gory details of everything that was going on, but I'll tell you that it ended in me having a panic attack. And I'd never had a panic attack before, and I actually think I had two panic attacks. I wear a sleep apnea machine to help me not annoy my wife with my snoring, and one night I woke up and I couldn't breathe. And I started thinking to myself, like, I'm having a panic attack. Like, I literally can't breathe. It was 2:30 in the morning and I was feeling like I was suffocating. And I looked over at my machine and I'd forgotten to take my machine on. So I didn't have air coming in. And so that one was on me. And so I hit the button and everything was okay. But the next night, the same thing happened. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I couldn't breathe. And I looked over and my machine was working this time, and so I knew it wasn't the machine. And so I took it off and I tried to catch my breath and I couldn't do it. And I hopped up out of bed and I think I scared my wife half to death. She's saying, what is wrong? And I can't talk because I just can't catch my breath. I'm so consumed with my problems and with the conflict and with the drama. I'm having this panic attack. And you know what? It was during that season that there were thoughts that just kind of came through my mind. And you ever know, like, when you go through a difficult season, like, you shouldn't trust your thoughts. They're not good thoughts. You'll take the easy way out. And I started thinking thoughts like, you know what, man, life was so much easier when I wasn't a lead pastor. Maybe I should just call one of my friends and just go work on a staff somewhere because that was easy. Like, I just got a paycheck and everyone liked me and, like, there were no problems. And this is difficult. Planning a church is difficult. Running a church is difficult. Maybe I should just dive in and just like get away from some of these problems. What would Rocky Balboa say? He said, that's what quitters do. And that's not you. You're not a coward. You don't run away from your problems. And what is Paul saying? Paul's saying, don't give up. It's difficult. I know this season in your marriage is difficult. I know this season with your kids is difficult. Listen, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you've got little rugrats, that's a difficult season, but don't give up. You keep pouring into them. One day you're going to reap a harvest of kids who love Jesus, but you got to keep pouring into them. Don't give up. Maybe you have a kid who's gone off and who doesn't love God anymore and has run away from the church. Can I just tell you, you don't panic, you don't freak out, you don't say, oh, woe is me, what am I going to do? You keep pouring love into that kid, and you keep praying for them, and you keep just holding on to them and saying, I'm not going to give up on you. None of us know the end of the chapter, so all we can do is not give up. We keep pouring in good. We keep pouring into our relationship with God. We keep pouring in, and watch, if we hold on, we will reap a harvest. But you cannot give up. In the last few weeks, I've talked to multiple people who have given up on the local church. And it's because they had a bad experience. It's because they had an experience where it didn't sit well with them. And these are people that were not a part of Next Level Church at all. They're other churches. And so often what I hear is that I got plugged into a church and the pastor let me down, or the church didn't do things my way, or the church just didn't fit, and they become incredibly hurt and wounded. And can I just tell you that if you're here today and you're one that's kind of teetering on your faith and kind of saying, yeah, I just don't know if I want to give church another shot. I don't know if I want to hold out, that I've been burned by the church in the past. Let me just give you the main idea for today, and it's something I'd like for you to wrestle with. Don't let what's wrong with others stop you from doing the good God has placed in you. Don't let what's wrong with others stop you from doing the good God has placed in you. If you're here today and you're teetering on your faith, well, don't let some bad experience in the past stop you from doing the good that God has placed in you. If you had a rocky time at a church, you go find a church that can pour into you and that is what you need it to be. If you had a rocky past relationship, if you're a female, don't say that all guys are dogs and all guys cheat and all guys are evil. You hold on to the good and you wait and you find a guy that God has brought into your life that is good, but you got to hold on. And don't let what's wrong with them cause you to stop doing the good that God has placed inside of you. If you can't get a Ford in your job, if you keep getting passed over for promotions and you just think, well, I need to cut some corners and maybe if I cheated like everyone else, maybe I would get a promotion. No, don't let what's wrong with them cause you to stop doing the good that God has placed in you. You do what God has placed in you. Don't give up. Don't quit. That's what cowards do. And you're not a coward. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. And God, the fact that you are so patient with us. And God, we just ask right now that you would just speak to our hearts, that you would give us a challenge, that you would give us a word, that you would help us to have courage to follow you and obey you. God, for those of us that are here, that are struggling with our faith, that are on the edge, would you help us, God? Would you just put in some perseverance inside of us? God, for those of us that don't even know why we came today, would you just remind us of this word not to give up? God, for those of us that are struggling in our marriages, God, would you just help us? Would you wrap your loving arms around our injured souls? God, for those of us that are struggling with parenting, God, would you just help us not just to endure these days of little ones, but God, would you help us to enjoy them? God, for those of us that are struggling with our faith, would you help us to pour more into our relationship with you? For those of us who have let a dream die, God, would you just pour that dream back into us? And God, we just ask that you would do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. In your name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.